Now, I have noticed a couple of members of the Edwardstown Lions. Rotary, I always do that. Both excellent local service clubs, I might add. Edwardstown Rotary in the gallery, and with the leave of the meeting, we could bring forward the motion to be moved by Councillor Pfeiffer concerning the Edwardstown Rotary Club. Do I have leave of the meeting? No objection. Then we'll turn to page 221 of the agenda. Leave is granted. Councillor Pfeiffer to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm pretty darn excited about this one, I must say. It's another one of those happy news stories. Through you, Your Worship, I also acknowledge the presence of our Rotary members in the gallery this evening. Look, the intent of this motion is to acknowledge and thank the Rotary Club of Edwardstown for their exceptionally generous donation to Council and unprecedented donation to Council. It's quite incredible, actually. And to also have an agreement on, or a rough agreement on, what we use it for on the site. Your Worship, this is a great lesson in the value of positive partnerships. It was only a couple of years ago, and in the last term of Council, when the Rotary Club of Edwardstown, who used to operate their bookshop down here on Sturt Road opposite Westfield, they were coming to the end of a lease and they were effectively homeless. They approached us. We worked very, very hard. We slashed through ridiculous amounts of red tape to actually get them established in what was at that time the old, completely derelict and overgrown kindy down on Towers Terrace at Edwardstown. It was a bomb site. It really was. What this club has done with that site is nothing short of phenomenal. It is absolutely incredible. It really is a community hub now. Everyone goes there. Everyone parts with a couple of bucks and buys a book. I believe they're getting, you know, attendances in excess of 1,000 odd people a week. It's ridiculous how well that facility is used and how much it has become a de facto community centre for that little community. And how nice it is to just see a nice facility in there. It's beautifully run, it's beautifully managed, it's beautifully kept. Your Worship, the Rotary Club of Edwardstown is very, very active in our local community. They do Clean Up Australia Day with us. They do the bird boxes at Warraparinga. They are big sponsors of the youth vigil every Anzac Day. They do revegetation projects. They do weekly drivers for Meals on Wheels. And they recently donated, I think it's 5 defibrillators to various sports clubs within the Marion community. It's quite incredible what they've done. Rotary International, so where a lot of their funds also go to the international projects, over the last 25-odd years, their polio program has been nothing short of mind-blowing what they've done. 2 billion kids, that's a third of the world's population, have been, vaccinated against this horrible, horrible, horrible disease. It's reduced polio by 99% and eradicated it in all but 2 countries on Earth. It's astonishing what they've done. This particular Rotary Club of Edwardstown has wanted to further embed themselves in a local project in the local area. They want to show that they are truly local to this particular area, this particular community. They've approached us. They've said, look, you're doing some amazing stuff at that Jervois Street Reserve. We want to be part of it. This is the value of positive and great partnerships. We've worked very well with them to actually get them into the place. They want to come to the table and actually further embed themselves in our community. I'll take my hat off to them. I think they're wonderful.
I think it's a long agenda. I think Councillor Pfeiffer's articulated the position fairly clearly. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think we can learn a lot from this. Sadly, when this first started, it wasn't smooth sailing within the council chamber. I guess there was some envy from other parts of the council as to one service club getting more than the other and where they had to operate. And I think the fact that didn't end up stopping this project or souring this project, where the Rotary Club was able to go where they are now, actually shows what the benefit of a positive approach and a positive relationship goes. Instead of looking, I guess, at what we don't have, looking at what we can provide and what can be provided. So now, I guess it's full circle. We're pretty much a considerable amount of the money that the council has invested in getting Rotary there, and I believe there was about $44,000 for some parking or something like that that was needed nearby, is coming back to us, and it is unprecedented. And I also guess the good grace of the people involved in Rotary not to, not to hold any grudges, I guess, is some of the things that might have been said at the time. So I think there's something we can all learn from this, that is the power of, I guess, being positive and supportive and approaching things, on the face value. So but that's all I wanted to comment. Tim's covered everything else very succinctly.
Thank you. Councillor Hull?
Could I ask for Appendix 2 to be placed up there, please?
Sorry, you're talking about an amendment or...?
Appendix 2 of the agenda.
I don't follow, sorry.
Appendix 2, it's in the report. So it'll be page 226.
Oh, you want Appendix 2 added to the minutes?
No, I want to see it on the screen, please.
Oh, I see. I do note that the motion doesn't actually specify what exactly the design is to be. It just says that we will use the donation element of the Jervois Street Reserve
I'm speaking,
design.
Speaking against this, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
Look, it just makes me cringe that these community organisations can come along and can zump us. In the previous motion, I couldn't get anything like this for the cost here in the plaza, and these folks come along and gazump us with something like this. Like, you know, this is more than $40,000, which was in my last motion, which I had to struggle for weeks to get, and these folks come along and present this tonight and get give us $50,000 worth and then expect us to actually match it. Like, you know, I just want to know, how can I join? How can I join you,
bloke? Point of order.
There's an issue of inaccuracy has been suggested. If there was a suggestion that there was to be matching funding for this particular element of the design.
Oh, well, I think we've already put the money in, otherwise the land wouldn't be there. But
we've put the money into the land, that's true.
The point that I'm making is that...
What are you saying, that they're showing a greater community spirit than we are by improving the reserve more than we're improving the plaza?
You could say that. You might be onto something there.
Just trying to understand you, Councillor Hull.
Yeah, thank you. I think you are understanding me. So I've made my point.
Position to the motion. Subsequently, put the... Councillor Pfeiffer, you want to drag this out?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Worship. Look, I'll just clarify. These design elements, well, with the exception of plaques to acknowledge donations, these design elements were part of the design for this project, which Council has funded. They're up to the tune, in recent times, it's been the cost funding, the cost from state government, plus we've chipped in an extra $650 to make this happen. These guys have chipped in money as well, so all it effectively does is reduces the cost to council. These elements were part of the design.
Yeah. I don't think there was any humour in that debate, was there? I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So I hope you enjoyed the antics this evening, gentlemen. You're quite welcome to stay. We'll probably be here for a few hours yet. But you may well be tucked up in bed with a mug of cocoa by the time we finish. You're free to leave any time you like. We'll go back to... Order. There'll be no satire in the chamber, thank you. on page 197 of the agenda, South Parcom Tennis Club, outrageous debt. Outstanding debt.
Look, this is. I'll move the motion as is. It's we have got advice on this. It's not something we can pursue. Otherwise, we can pursue, but we'd be wasting more ratepayers money chasing it, as effectively that the group doesn't exist in any form which we could recover funds from. So whilst I don't like this, I'm happy that it would just be easier to accept it and learn from it. And it's good to see that we've got a monthly expense register that we're looking at for clubs, and clubs are kept up to date as to what they owe us. So this sort of situation would be identified a lot sooner. And now in regard to the interim arrangements, just want to clarify, that's just some court hire that one of the other clubs has got. So, but apart from that, that's all we're looking at.
Very well. Yeah, it's a pity that the motion doesn't read notes the interim court use arrangements or something, because, oh, it has got access to the courts. No, that's okay. Good. Councillor Crossland, you seconding?
Can I second it with a bit of an addition with the mover's permission? As these courts have been closed for so long for the public and they've been paying for it, we don't need both all the courts. I think that's four in total for Morphettville Tennis Club, and I'd like to see at least two of the courts permanently open for public use.
Can we have advice from staff on the current situation, please?
Through the chair, I assume that would be possible in terms of that, and also just accommodating the Morphettville Tennis Club. So I think if we put that in, and if there were any issues that we're not aware of, then we bring that back to council.
Through the chair, can we just confirm how many courts there are in total? Because I believe Morphettville would like to hire two.
So in total there's six courts, so there'd be the two with the hire, so yeah.
I thank Ms. McKenzie for bringing to my attention the bottom of the paragraph. The second paragraph, beginning on page 199, just to put it in context, Morphettville Club to have a licence to 30th June 2016 to continue to use the courts while the future use of the facility is determined. And here's the crunch. Payment for the use of the courts will be directed to council. In addition, during the unoccupied periods, the courts will be open for public use. So I think Councillor Crossland's point might have been resolved.
Thank you, and apparently the courts are divided into three and three, so only three would be available for public use.
Correct. Mr. Scull says that's correct. Right, so moved and seconded. Any further debate? Councillor Crossland seconded, yes. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Worship. I've got a question. The $10 or the leasing for the courts currently, that has not been going to the club, has it? The current club being the South Parcom Tennis Club. Those monies have been coming directly to council.
Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, no, that's been an arrangement where it hasn't been coming to council.
So Morphettville Park Tennis Club's been sinking money into these rascals that have been running off with our fees, basically.
If I can add, as the report says, there's significant learnings in there. What occurred in this situation shouldn't have occurred, should have been dealt with a lot sooner, and the controls that we're putting in place as we work through the systems and processes that need to be in our land and property department. So we acknowledge that this is a significant error that needs to be rectified.
Sort of Lescu, did you have a question? Or?
Just to clarify what Councillor Hutchinson said, obviously whilst it's not a huge amount, is the fact that we...
You're closing the debate?
Yeah, all right. Okay. No, I just had a question,
All right, question it is.
I just wanted to know, were we legally able to get the money before we handed the lease over or took it over?
Through the chair. So the advice that we got regarding this matter was it would be difficult to recover the costs. So that was the key issue in here, that we didn't...
Sorry, Your Worship. What I wanted to know is... Councillor Hutchinson said, why, if they owe us money, was Morganville paying them? And I'm just wanting to clarify that because of the lease, that we couldn't get that money. Was there a legal impediment stopping us getting that money?
Well, no, order. I didn't say that. No. I was questioning.
Order. Councillor Lescu, I think the point is there was a long-standing arrangement that it went from one tennis club to another. But aren't you now asking about recovering the money from South Park? They're like two different issues. I don't understand your question then.
I just want to know if there was a legal reason why that we couldn't get the money for the court hire any sooner. That's all. I just want to clarify. I misread what Councillor Hutchinson was asking, so apologise for that.
Or put it another way, Ms. and perhaps Ms. Dixon could answer, why was Morphettville Tennis Club paying South Park Home Club $10 per court? Was that a subtenancy arrangement, something like that?
Yes, so there was an arrangement between the two clubs. In hindsight, what we should have done was acted sooner to address that.
Sure. Councillor Hutchinson, question?
I'm going to speak against the motion, Your Worship. I think this is an absolute disgrace. We've got a club here who's been pocketing a bit of coin. God knows where that money's gone, given that they've got over $15,000 debt. I think we should be pursuing this because this is ridiculous that our community has been paying $15,000 for the last 3-4 years for nothing, for someone to have their own private tennis court, essentially. I think this is a disgrace.
I just want to draw your attention to the legal advice that's implicit in the report, that basically council was saying to the club, you should be paying us for certain things, and the club said, well, no, we're not going to, but it's still racked up as a debt. Now, that's not going to be recoverable. That's sort of the message that we're getting as advice. Did you want to add to that, Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, that is correct, because what we needed to do when the club came back and were disputing the terms of the licence in terms of payment, we should have clearly stated what our terms were and the consequences if they could not meet that, which would be terminating the lease. We didn't do that and we allowed it to go on, and that's where the legal advice is, because of the length of time and gaps in our response, that it would be difficult to recover the costs.
So, Councillor Hull.
Unfortunately, the lack of attention to detail by the staff seems to be a hallmark of the property department. Case after case.
Councillor Hull, you could use that in the past tense, though.
Well, I hope so. I sincerely hope so, Mr. Mayor. But it needs to be said that part of our responsibility to monitor the finances of the city, and I think we'd be remiss of us to actually not raise it. How much did it cost for the legal advice for this?
Ms. Dixon?
I haven't got the figure here, but I can send that through.
$2,000 or $3,000?
Don't think it was that much, but I'd rather just confirm that and send that through.
I'd like to know who the lawyer is because I might use him myself. Anyway, I've made my point. I agree with Councillor Hutchinson. And Councillor Crosland's been hot on this, that these tennis courts are excluded from the public. It's for the sole use of those club members. And then they go and let us down like this. And actually, at the same time, they've been charging another club to actually use the tennis courts. It's quite bizarre. And really, it actually should be a signal to all of us that we actually need to direct the administration to now have a look at all the other clubs and see what's going on, because I don't think the broader community would find this acceptable.
Scull, to comment?
If I may, through the chair, make a comment. We're putting a considerable amount of resource into fixing up the land and property issues that we've got, which have been highlighted a couple of months ago. We acknowledge that we didn't perform our duties well, and we certainly were not thorough in chasing debt of a number of clubs, but we're looking at all the clubs and the community groups that are renting and leasing facilities through council, and we're certainly getting on top of it. There's been a lot of progress made and that things are improved significantly.
During the last week, we've notched up our first year as this new council, and I think it's really important to say, in light of Councillor Hull's comments, that we've had a lot of legacy issues to deal with, but we are dealing with them, we are improving things, and that's what Mr. Scull's just underlining, and indeed Ms. Dixon acknowledged that there are things to learn from this in her report. So we actually are getting there. So while there's some frustration about the history and some of these legacy problems that we're dealing with, we are moving forward, and I think that needs to be acknowledged at the same time. Councillor Hutchinson, you have spoken in the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. So just to clarify, from the staff perspective, we are admitting that staff have been negligent in chasing up these debts and pursuing these clubs. Is that what we're saying?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, staff could have been more tough on the community group in this instance that wasn't paying its way, and certainly we could and should have gone, and we certainly will in the future go in harder when clubs are not actually meeting their responsibilities.
Right. Other contributors to the debate? If not, anyone to... Who was it? Councillor Valescu to close the debate. Enough said. Oh, if in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. And we turn to the next item on the agenda, page 200, Community Energy Opportunity. Councillor Pryor.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move point one of this. I don't think we need point two, and I'll address that in a minute.
Just while you're moving it, Councillor Pryor, I'm a bit unclear of what you mean by a virtual power station. Is that the clearest way you can express that? Do you need those words at all?
No, I don't think we do. I think you could exclude the virtual power station and just look at the installation of solar PV on council buildings to make things a lot clearer.
That's really what you're talking about, isn't it?
That makes the most sense in the context, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Please proceed.
For the people who don't know, I guess the people listening at home, playing at home, we had a forum last week about possible community energy directions for council, and I'd like to acknowledge all the staff and consultants involved. I thought that was a really slick operation. It was really good. I got a lot out of it, and we certainly have some directions to follow, and this is a motion supporting some of those directions. I've had some information from Ms. Dixon, and she might want to confirm later if she really wants to, but the $4,000 is for one of the consultants to do the study that we're looking at, and that'll give us more information to make some informed decisions about how we go forward. I mean, the council at the moment is a really blank slate in terms of energy opportunities. We have a lot of work to do, and we have, from what it seems, we have a quite motivated council to do these things. We have a really unique opportunity here to show some leadership in the community, and I I firmly believe this is a very exciting direction for council to be looking at. The motion is only for a report, so there's more coming, there's more in the works, and I think we've already shown some leadership in sending Councillor Hull to an energy efficiency conference, which I fully support, and I fully support any of the information he's brought back, disseminating amongst the councillors, and if you guys haven't had a chance to read some of that stuff, it's a good read. Finally, I'd just like to say that I haven't made a secret to anyone about my desire to at least investigate the possibility of us putting together a suitable solar farm. I think it's something that we're in a unique position again to be able to do, I believe. And in reference to the energy efficiency options for the council building and the lighting projects, I know that's not specifically captured in the motion, but I think we should be just doing that. I think we've got enough information to start following that up, and that may come in another motion at a later date. Thank you.
Just before I ask for a seconder, I just want to make a comment about Clause 2 in light of some discussions I had today. Two points. One is that there's clearly a passion among councillors to get something done to make our buildings more energy efficient, and there's clearly a commitment to get more energy efficient street lighting. Both of those things are not only good for the environment but can provide massive annual savings to us financially. So I think the expectation was that staff would come back to us with a costed motion for some way forward, to actually start moving forward. However, I understand why staff suggested taking the items to an informal meeting to discuss priorities, the so-called strategic, unfunded, unprioritised items list, because that's the way we've done it in the past. Now, the second point I was going to make is there has been work done on coming up with template motions for us as councillors when we have good ideas for new initiatives. And I'll shortly be in a position to show you a draft of that. And that is married with the process for deciding things, whether they're urgent or not, whether they're major or significant or minor issues and so on. So this was done in the context where we would have regular meetings to say, oh, there's all this stuff we've talked about but not committed money to, which ones do we want to do? That's why Clause 2 was put there. I'm not necessarily pushing it, because as I say, Council's understanding was that we would have a report early next year which would be costed with definite actions, and we're ready for that. Anyone can tell me in debate if I'm wrong, but I just want to help everyone understand why I think it was put in. Seconded? Or a question?
Can I ask a question, please?
Question, Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, sorry, my understanding was regarding point two, it's not really a project at this stage because we haven't had a report to know whether it's going to be a project or not. Wouldn't it be better placed as another dot point, a report with the cost-benefit analysis on efficient buildings or sustainable street lighting? Because then it becomes either a project or not a project.
Well, Councillor Crossland, we don't need a council motion for that. We've already expressed our wish informally to staff. Staff have already said informally that's what they're going to do. So if there's no point two, they'll just go and do it. What do you say, Mr. Scull?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, absolutely. I think from my perspective, it's pretty clear what the council is asking. Point one, the cost, risk, benefit, etc., is to come back with a costed plan for council's consideration.
At this point, we're after a seconder. Councillor Bilescu.
Just want to clarify that this $4,000 is going to go on the solar farm or the solar PV or a mixture of both, and that the information about street lighting and more efficient energy use within our buildings is going to happen anyway. Can I clarify, is that the case?
You're right about the second thing and about the first thing. The $4,000 is for a consultant to do a financial analysis fairly high level of the viability of a solar farm and the viability of increased solar photovoltaic cells on our council buildings to see where we get the biggest bang for our buck.
Body language is a bit different from Mr. Skull, that's why.
Oh, well, better hear from Mr. Skull then.
Just the last answer was, I wasn't clear whether Mr. Skull was talking about the first bit or the second bit being coming, that's why I asked
his last answer was talking about the second bit, what you call the second bit, which is to say, early next year, we have been told that a report will come back with a cost-benefit analysis and costings on a definite way forward in respect of energy-efficient building improvements and improved street lighting.
Thank you. So thanks for your patience. Okay, sorry. Okay. Yeah, because I do think that's important, because that's where we'll actually make some of those initial savings. We're not going to be making any savings for a while until any of these projects happen in the first section, if they do. So I think it's great that Council's pursuing it. It's not just a warm and fuzzy thing that we're helping the planet. It's about looking at sort of sustainability of resources and also financial resources as well as fossil fuels. So I'm really excited that we're pursuing it, but we'll make sure that we see what the numbers stack up as soon as possible. So if it doesn't stack up, or if there's ways to approach it that's more financially responsible, we can go down that way sooner rather than later.
I'm not happy about point two being dropped off, but look, I think the body language from Mr. Skull indicates that I should be happy.
I think these meetings might have to be videoed so those at home can understand. I'm glad I wore a tie.
Look, I can tell. I know these things. Mr. Mayor, the report coming back on that will address point two is really critical, because in order for administration to actually address point two appropriately, we need to spend some money.
Order, we're actually not discussing that side of things.
Well, point two has been dropped, and I'm just lamenting on that. That's all. It is part of the...
Well, it's not dropped. There's just
on the agenda.
The motion is about the financial evaluation. Well, if you want to talk about something else, find another way to do it.
Or wait until... Report.
No, order. Don't interrupt the chair, please. Find another way to do it if you want to talk about that.
Okay. Well, look.
Or wait till early next year and get the report.
Well, I think I'll wait till early next year.
Beautiful.
And I like it. I really think your body language is fantastic. I'd like to say this much, that when I first come on this council, I was overwhelmed with footpaths and really, really fundamental things. And I thought back then in 1993, wouldn't it be great to be able to talk about some more high-level stuff? And here we are. And it's great we are. It really is. But we need to progress with caution. We need to dovetail with Tonsley if we can. I think that's consistent with our past acting CEO's parting advice to us. He gave us a few tips. One of them was Tonsley. And I just think that we do need to progress with caution because, look, there is risk. There is risk. You know, all the entrepreneurs in the world and all the ones that have brought about benefit for community have always proceeded with a degree of risk, and here we are. We just need to be mindful of that, measure it, and actually react to it as we go along. Technology is the other thing. We need to actually hook into R&D, because contrary to what we were told the other night, I am truly a true believer that in 5 years' time we're going to be talking about a whole different range of technologies in terms of solar capture than we are now, which will incorporate building materials. I'm truly committed to that. And look, I'm glad you are reading material from that conference, probably the most productive conference I ever went to, even though I was the only elected member from the whole nation at that conference. The rest, by the way, Mr. Mayor, were made up 50% by environmental officers like the Anne Gibbons that we have here. The other 50% was Mr. Barnwell's of the council world, who are there because they know there's a quid in it. They know there's a quid in it, and we should take that on board. And look, for tonight, Mr. Mayor, 20 past five, all our lights were on outside. 100-watt halogens burning out there, burning for about 3 hours for nothing, and our ratepayers are paying for that. This is the simple stuff that we can address, and we're paying through the nose, not only for that, but all those street lights out there now that are not LED.
Now, no need to reply to that. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. We move on to page 202 of the agenda, appointment of a public officer to the DAP. Members, it's a formality with the departure of the director governance. There is a gap for the public officer, essentially the post box in many ways for the DAP, the official contact point, I should say, in terms of the legislative framework. So it has to be someone, and the most appropriate person is Ms. Dixon because of her position as acting director. So, Mr. Westwood, Councillor Westwood, to move. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried. Unanimous by majority. Unanimously. All right. Oh, got me going. We move to the finance report, and a brief opportunity to ask questions first. Councillor Telfer?
Works, but hasn't got any actual and commitment in there, no blue, so I don't know how we could have.
Mr. Banwell?
Page 214 traffic devices graph. I think the blue bits have got left out. Well, my reading of it.
So, through the chair, that was actually for some remedial signage which had to be done, which wasn't part of the programme, so that's why there is actually funding there, but no allocated budget. So it was actually done.
Okay. All right. And then I've got questions about some of those other graphs.
Let's go ahead.
Like page 215, streetscapes, hasn't started. Obviously, our question is still, why are we not moving forward on that one? Some of the others, bores begin in January, very interesting, and the building upgrades, the work's essentially completed, so is that at a lower cost than expected?
Mr. Barnwell, can you help with those points?
Just in relation to maybe the bores first. So there's a bore audit which is carried on first. There's no expected works to be done until January. That's just the timing of when the works are actually going to be carried out. So that's why there's no actual budget to spend until January. So race to the timing of the actual expenditure as opposed to anything else. The building upgrades are only 30% complete. So we do have some spend there, but it's only 30% complete at this part of the year, which is probably not a far off track for the 4 months.
Okay. My last question is about page 217, extra works, 39,000. What, and they're a sundry debtor, what sort of things come into extra works that would create sundry debtors for ageing?
My understanding of the extra works is that's capital works that are requested by residents as opposed to, sort of cutouts and pavements and things like that, which council would carry out and the residents would pay for.
If there are no more questions, then looking for someone to move. Councillor Telfer? Is that seconded? Councillor Valescu? All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, carried unanimously. Then turning to page 219 of the agenda. Councillor Valescu has a question. We note the answer. We've dealt with the Edwardstown motion. Moving along to the Hallett Cove Library issue. So there's obviously dealing in property, obviously you need to go into confidence. So once you have that motion in front of you, members, it's actually at the early part of your agenda, page 28. So looking for a motion to go into confidence. If you think it's appropriate, Councillor Blescu. So moved. Councillor Westwood seconded. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously.
I've had a few contacts with people in regards to the dog parks issue, just a clarity of information, so that's why that came out. I got stuff from my ward and neighbouring ward, just people who thought we were going to close down all of Oakland's reserve, things like that. So sort of fielded a bit of that. That was part of the questions. I think I was the only one that must have got it, so lucky me. I guess also maybe so there's some issues in regards to our changing watering regimes, so other members may get some questions as well. So that's what I found. So that's all I needed to report.
Look, I did attend one event with council staff. I think Abby was there at Drew Court. Drew Court. I just wanted to avail council to something that was quite surprising. Drew Court's been there since the 1960s. It's the two-storey housing trust buildings in Oakland's Park, quite a number of them. Quite a big area, and an area that we identified for redevelopment recently, by the way. For many years, there's been a lot of single people living there. A lot of them do have social issues, mental health issues and the like. They've been there for a long time. Now we have a new group of people moving in numbers, refugees from all over the place. And I just wanted to avail council that we've actually got this change happening of a significant nature in Marion and particularly in Drew Court. I really appreciate and welcome the investments that are being made by not only the South Australian Government but also by the council and Anglicare, to name a few, to actually help these people to actually cope in the new country and a new environment. The really disturbing comments that I've heard is that these refugees feel much, much safer and comfortable in Drew Court in that environment, which is not a place that I would choose to live, than they did where they came from. And I think that says a lot. But look, the Minister Bettison was there the other day and opened a new function area. I'm not sure how long the flat screen TV will last in there. But look, there's people making an effort to try and help these people, families, mums and dads with kids from the Middle East, from all over the place, Africa, so on and so forth.